B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 p.m. 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you. 610-632-0975. Hey, Connor, you want to update? Let's get an update on the Twitter poll question that we put out at the start of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So our Twitter poll, again, is how many championships will the Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, and Flyers win in the 2020s? We're up to 1,473 votes. Still leading the way is two championships. That's at 38% even. Second place is still 3+ at 31.5% now. Third place is still one championship at 18.7%. Dropping a little bit, zero, still at 11.8%. But, yeah, down a little bit from where we had it at the previous update.
All right. I want to put it out there to the callers again. I can't believe the zero is that high. It's only 12%, right, Connor? It's not entirely high, but when you look at the amount of votes, we're at 1,500.
Yeah, that's a lot of people that has them 0 for the next 10. Yeah, by the way, that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons as well.
That's about 130 people. You got 130 in there. And then there's some optimism. There's some optimism. 3+, we got 32% to second highest to 2 at 38. 2 is the reasonable, safe, it's the optimistic yet realistic number. Because when you look back at the history of Philadelphia, you haven't had any decade where they've had more than 2. And over the last 3 decades, they've had 2 combined. So 2 is a optimistic yet realistic. 1 is, one is hopeful, yet I think 1 also might be slightly pessimistic because you have players in town, Carson, Bryce, Ben, Joel, Carter Hart, that are considered cornerstone pieces. They're considered cornerstone pieces. Y'all know how I feel about Carson and the Eagles. And I feel 2 is a reasonable number. Hopeful, yet reasonable for them in this decade. I didn't see anything this past season out of Carson to make me think otherwise, and I came into the year feeling like he's good enough to win 2. He's going to be a Super Bowl MVP. I had him being a Super Bowl MVP this year. It's still intact, but I don't foresee that happening. Not because of the road they have to take, and as beat up as they are, this is a team that, hey, Brandon Brooks is a big loss. That's a huge loss. You got a 3-time Pro Bowl right guard. Arguably the best in the business. And then if Lane Johnson, even if he goes, he's banged up. So that's a big issue right there. If Zach Ertz can't go, now you're going to be in a playoff game. It's different than facing the Giants defense. It's different than facing the Redskins. And I know Dallas had everything to play for, but Dallas has shown they're not a good football team. By the way, Jason Garrett still got a job, Connor. He's as of right now, on New Year's Day 2020, Jason Garrett's still the coach.
He's a dead man walking. That's a lame duck team right now. He's got to be gone, I got to believe. You can't imagine they keep him, right?
Wouldn't it be great if they do?
Would love it, yeah.
How about them Cowboys? I think that would be the greatest thing ever. And I know Dan Snyder's in Washington, but Ron Rivera is a good coach, and I think the Redskins are going to be a team that you got to be on the lookout for, and Jack Del Rio now is coming in as defensive coordinator. That's a good combination right there, strong head coach, defensive coordinator. That's somewhat of a concern. You hope that Daniel Snyder finds a way to meddle and screw it up, but I think you got to look out for them. I don't know. The Giants need a new head coach. They're going to bring in a new head coach, obviously. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and the receivers they have, they got some firepower. If they can get some protection up front on that offensive line and a new coach, a new ideas, and with all those draft picks, they might be a team on the rise in the next couple of years. we might be looking at the Eagles, Redskins, and Giants in the NFC East, and the Cowboys pulling up the rear in the back is the worst team in the NFC East. What do you think?
Yeah, but the Giants, they kind of feel like they're sitting there to see what Dallas is going to do with Jason Garrett. Those reports have been out for a while. If they bring in Jason Garrett,
that helps.
He's proven that even with all the talent in the world, he could still find a way to lose. So.
Yeah, that's not a bad thought, Connor. Whether he's in Dallas or he's in New York, it's good for the Eagles fans because he's got Jason Garrett. Okay, he's good for 8-9 wins. He's good for maybe 10 wins. He's not going to seriously threaten the division. They're going to win it. They're going to win more games than they lose over the course of his career, probably. But they're not going to be a realistic threat. So one way or another, you'll have Jason Garrett in the division. So that's probably a good thing. I just feel this Eagles team is going to be able to win a couple this decade. And while I don't feel it's realistic right now because it's a tough road throughout this postseason to beat Seattle and go to San Fran, and we're assuming San Fran because we don't think, you know, I don't think New Orleans is going to lose at home to Minnesota. I just don't see that happening. Now, what is that line at? That's 7.5. So the Eagles started as 1-point favorites. I got the initial email, and I forget who I get these sent to me all the time. Sunday, right after the game, they started 1-point favorites. Now they're back to being underdogs at 1.5. So that almost immediately swung. In fact, when it came out and I got it as 1-point favorites, it was only like in one or two different sports books locations. But in some others, they were already underdogs right off the bat. Houston is a 2.5-point. New England's only a 5-point favorite at home against Tennessee. How about that? How about that? That's only a 5. Wow. New Orleans is the biggest, so I'm assuming New Orleans is going to win. I think the Saints win. I think the Saints win, and I think they have an actual chance to win in Green Bay. I think they have a real chance to win in Green Bay. And then if the Eagles knock off San Fran, you might be headed to New Orleans for a rematch, only this time it's an NFC championship. But we got to take them one game at a time, and we'll see. I'm confident about this game. I have a last week I had a close game. You had the 17-point victory. Connor, you hit the 17 right on the head. You were off by a couple points, but you hit the margin of victory right there. You nailed it. I got a 2-touchdown win this Sunday. Call me crazy. I got a 2-touchdown win. I'll tell you this. I had them after losing to Miami winning out. I had them winning out. So at 5-7, I still had the confidence in this team. At 5-7, I told you I came on here. I was all over the defense and called it the worst game I had seen, everything. And still, by the end of that show, I was like, I still think they win out and they win this division. And they did. I didn't envision it happening the way it played out. 2 comeback wins in a row to get it started. Then a really nice win over Dallas. And then at the end, a convincing win against the Giants. But I had it close last week. You had a blowout. This week, I have a 2-touchdown win. Connor, you feel otherwise.
Yeah, we're flopping sides completely on this one. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. You look at kind of the template for the first playoff game under Doug and Jim Schwartz as well as defensive coordinator. So you've got that 15-10 win against Atlanta back in 17 when they went on the Super Bowl run. Last year, you've got that game in Chicago, 16-15 with the double doink, both low-scoring games. And then you look at when they played Seattle earlier this year, 17-9 victory for the Seahawks, still low-scoring. I can't pick against the Eagles, even though when I look at that Seahawks game, there were some missed opportunities, some missed throws by Russell. You see that one they threw away in the corner of the end zone. I think it might have been to Hollister, who was standing there wide open.
There was the one that DK Metcalf dropped.
Right. So they had those opportunities to blow that game wide open, and it wasn't as close as the score even looked. But I can't pick against the Eagles. Carson Wentz so good right now. I'm going what you had last week with that 3-point win, 27-24. Russ is going to score more. He's a better quarterback than Mitch and Matt Ryan was when we saw those teams. And Carson's playing better than Nick Foles played in either of those playoff games for us. 27-24, a little bit higher scoring, but still those close games are going to come back.
We don't have any weather issues, so you got a close game, high scoring game. You got the over-unders at 45.5. You got it going 27-24. It looks like 41 degrees on Sunday. I would imagine by that's the high. So by kickoff, it might be in the mid-30s. Sunny, cloudy. They don't have to worry. At this point, we're still a few days away. You don't have to worry about the rain or any kind of conditions that way. I got this team with right around 30 points. I think they score 30. I got a third. I had picked a 30-16 on Tuesday night on my show, or Monday night when I did it, and I'm not going to change from there. So I got a 30-16 win. I want to hear your thoughts out there. I know it's a little early to make our predict. I'll be back on Saturday afternoon and Sunday, so we could do it then too as well. But I want to hear your thoughts on this game. I'm confident in this win. How far do you think they can go? Can they get to the NFC Championship by winning at home and winning one on the road? 610-632-0975. How many titles does this city celebrate this decade, from the Phillies, the Flyers, the Sixers, and the Eagles? There's a lot of optimism in our Twitter poll. Close to 70%. It is right at 70% right now. 38.4. That's 60. Yep. 70% say 2, 3 or more. 70. And then there's some who think none. And then a decent amount, 18.5% at 1. How many titles you think this city celebrates, and who wins them? Who wins them? Because a week ago, you may have made the argument, many may have made the argument, that the Sixers are ahead of the pack. That they, after the win over Milwaukee, you would have had them right ahead of the pack, right? So, week one, this guy says, week one, you went from Sixers can win a championship right now to Embiid, Ben, and Brett will never be able to win anything. Actually, week one, I had to say, my preseason pick was Sixers win 56 games and lose to LA Clippers in the finals. That's what I had, but appreciate you listening and joining in. And I do like the clown emojis. Happy New Year to you. And I hope you have an awesome 2020. And I hope that you keep on calling people clowns. And if that makes you feel better about yourself, God bless you, man. Appreciate that. 610-632-0975. Man, we'll never get rid of that. No matter what decade it is, no matter what year it is, no matter what it is, people, you're going to get the knuckleheads and the trolls on the social media who like to take their shots, no matter how, you know. And wait, I haven't even put out my Hall of Fame ballot yet. Filled it out and mailed it. Haven't put it out yet. I'm going to do it this week, and I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait to hear from everybody on that one. Because you know what's so great? You know what's awesome? That you get so fired up about a guy that you don't know not getting my Hall of Fame vote, that you will come after me and say the nastiest, meanest things. Because what does that say about you? But wait, I haven't even gotten there yet. We'll get there, though. All right? A guy that you never met not getting my Hall of Fame vote. Oh, I can't. I'm looking forward to that. Let's get a Kevin in Cleveland. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kev?
Yeah, man, you know, the reason why Philly is not playing as well, they don't play no good defense. But I like Philly, I really do. I mean, they're coming in the East, you know, they're gonna be coming. So, you know, all they gotta do is just play some defense, man. They, you know, to me, I've been watching them. I've been watching them for the last 3 years. And, you know, I like Simmons and stuff. Like I said, I like Simmons, you know. And Tobias Harris, he's a lifeline to that squad. Al Horford, he's, you know, a good role player.
So you think all they got to do is play better? Defense was supposed to be their strength, Kev. That was supposed to be this team's strength. And do you feel that with Embiid, Simmons, and Coach Brown, that trio is going to be able to win a title?
No. Oh, no. They're not going to come out the East. when you got Milwaukee, they're not coming out the East.
Okay. They're not coming out the East. Gotcha.
No, man. You know, they're not going to come out the East.
Who do you have in the East? Milwaukee?
No. I'm going to go with Boston got a chance. I mean, once they come together.
Boston, who, Boston?
I'm serious. Boston, they're coming.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Milwaukee was there last year. You know, Milwaukee was there in the finals, the Eastern Conference finals. I mean, I'm just saying, they got a chance. Boston, they up and coming. You know what I'm saying? Even though you can't take that away from Miami neither.
I feel the Sixers can still compete with Boston and compete with Miami. And I appreciate the call, Kevin. Have a great and happy new year and enjoy your 2020. We actually got sad news out of the NBA, Connor. Did you see this? Former commissioner David Stern has passed away. The NBA has announced at age 77. Former commissioner David Stern has passed away. I know he was... His health was, he was having some serious issues, and I covered the finals, and he was still the commissioner when I covered the finals in 01. I just remember he was always a huge part of the NBA for 3 decades. He led the NBA for 3 decades as the commissioner during a big boom in the NBA, and he has passed away. So condolences to David Stern's family, all his loved ones. Former Commissioner David Stern passed away today at age 77. Bob in Downingtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, so Marshawn Lynch is back, and what do you guys think he's going to be doing against the Eagles defense?
Well, Marshawn last week against San Fran had 12 carries for 34 yards. The Eagles' defense is really strong against the run. I think a runner like Marshawn is somebody they can have success with. They really bottled in Saquon, except for the one run last week. They did a great job against Barkley, except for when he broke free and got in the secondary and busted that one loose for 68 yards. I think they'll do a good job against Marshawn Lynch on Sunday.
Yeah, so how do you think guys are going to stop... So we know Rashad Penny is more of a passing game running back, right? So how do you think we're going to stop them with our secondary right now? And where do you think Jalen Mills is going to fit in with our secondary this weekend?
Jalen Mills is if Rashad Penny, by the way, is out for the season. Jalen Mills today was limited in practice. I would expect him to come back. Avante Maddox was also limited, and so was Sidney Jones. I think that Jalen Mills is going to be able to go out there. That's how you have to beat this team. You got to stop them in a pass game. You got to find a way to shut down or contain Russell Wilson. Last time they played, they sacked them 6 times, Bob. They held them to 17 points and 348 yards. They did a good job on defense. The offense couldn't score, and I expect to see more of the same out of the defense. And if you can hold them to 16, 17 points, I think this time around they win the football game.
Yeah, thank you. I completely agree with that. Thank you.
All right, Bob. Have a great, happy new year to you. 610-632-0975. Rashad Penny, man, that was, what was it, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? It was a really ugly ACL injury, and the Seahawks are banged up. That's why they had to turn to Marshawn Lynch. They are certainly banged up. They go out and bring back Marshawn. They're in the postseason now, Seattle. 8th time. Pete Carroll's been head coach there for 10 years. 8 times they've been in there. They won a Super Bowl. They should have won another one at the goal line. I was covering that Super Bowl, and I was writing back and forth, and I couldn't believe how that one ended against New England, and you had the interception there on the goal line instead of running the ball with Marshawn Lynch. They could have had their 2nd title. They're on the road as a wild card team against the NFC East champ now for the 2nd straight season, and last season was the only time under Pete Carroll that they failed to win at least one playoff game. When they've been in it for 8, last year they went on the road, they lost to Dallas, and they were 7. The Seahawks were 7-1 on the road this year. They're 4th in the NFL in rushing. It's not going to be an easy game, but I just feel good about this one. I feel confident about this one for this team. You got to worry about Tyler Lockett. He had 1,057 yards. I believe that was probably a career high for him. DK Metcalf, who, how many times are we going to hear it? The Eagles could have had him instead of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He was second among the rookies this year with 58 catches. He had 7 touchdowns. He had 900 yards receiving. Eagles didn't have 1 wide receiver with 500. Carson Wentz, first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 4,000 yards and not have a wide receiver with 500 yards receiving. Yes, he had 2 tight ends over that. Zach Ertz in the 9s. Dallas Goedert, 6s. Alshon was at 490. I know there's people who want to, like, take away. They want to poo-poo that. It's not all that great of a... To me, it's impressive. It shows that without a real threat at the receiver position, they're able to distribute the ball. Carson's able to distribute the ball and get enough yardage out there and build up. 4,000 yards is franchise record, and to do it without a 500-yard receiver, I think that's a cool stat. It's a nice, impressive number. Don't forget, the first time these two teams played, Jadeveon Clowney didn't even play that game. Seahawks overall finished 26th in total defense. They give up some yards, 382 per game. I feel like the Eagles will be able to move the ball this week against Seattle, and I feel that they're going to be able to win this game. I'm confident in them winning this game. How do you feel about it? What are your thoughts on the Sixers now? 3 straight losses after the Milwaukee win. As impressive as that win was, and as great as it was to see that, it's been a complete opposite turn in the past week. 3 straight losses all on the road. Does it have you questioning what you think this team can do? I didn't think they were going to win a championship this year, but I thought before the season started they were good enough to get there. Now I don't think they can get out of the Eastern Conference Finals. If they were able to get to Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals, they'd have a chance, but my concern is even getting past the second round. Getting past the second round is a concern. And right now, is it 6 seed? Now I know there's a lot. There's a lot to go. 2.5 games is easy. Not easy, but it's doable. They can move from 6 to 2 to 3. But right now, there's a lot of question marks with this team. And the biggest is when a player like Josh Richardson says there's no accountability. No accountability. And if you haven't heard those quotes that the Inquirer's Keith Pompey had yesterday, I'm going to read them for you when we come back. But the first one is, I don't think there's enough accountability in our locker room right now, honestly, he said. That from Josh Richardson speaks volumes about this team. So how do you feel about that? And we're talking about this future decade, championships expected. How many do they win? 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti, 975, The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Rob Motti with you, 610-632-0975. This 4 p.m. hour is brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaws-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. That's LANDISBC.com. All right, if you haven't heard these comments or read these quotes or heard about them after the loss in Indianapolis yesterday to Indiana, Sixers lose without Joel Embiid. Not sure what his problem was, his health situation, whatever it was in Miami for a couple nights. They get to Indiana and they can't go. They lose 115-97. Joel couldn't play. Josh Richardson, who scored 20 points, shot 7 for 14, was 1 of 6, though, from 3, made all 5 of his 3-pointers, played 29 minutes. He told the Inquirer's Keith Pompey, I don't think there's enough accountability in our locker room right now, honestly. Questioned the accountability. Doesn't believe they have enough accountability in the locker room. He said, going forward, we got to talk to some people about it, and we got to do it. We talk about playing hard every day. We talk about, you know, we break the huddle down with Chip every day, and we got a long way to go before we actually start competing for that. And I think our locker room has some growing to do. Well, when you hear that, and then you think back on why Jimmy Butler didn't want to come back, and part of it was the perception that maybe he didn't see enough of a commitment from these guys. And now Jay Rich comes in, Josh Richardson, and he's questioning the maturity and the accountability in this locker room. That is not a good look. That is not what you can call a championship caliber basketball mentality, attitude. They don't have the intangibles right now. They're flawed on the court and they're flawed off of it. And you can, now you can get by, when you look at the Eagles, you can get by with guys who aren't as talented as they've shown you in the past 4 weeks, yet have the desire, have the heart, have the intangibles. And I think you can get by only for a certain amount of time. Maybe you get by enough to beat the Redskins and the Giants and the Cowboys and perhaps Seattle, but then it stops against San Fran. We'll see where the run stops. But when you don't have, when you got some flaws in your performance, you got flaws on the court, in the game, and then there's commitment issues, maturity issues, you're not going to get to a championship. And I don't know how this team's going to fix this at this point. So it's a tough task for Elton Brand. I'm not sure what he can do, how he can shake it up. You look back 1 week ago and everything's riding high. You look at it now and it's, my goodness, three straight losses. And I didn't think last week they were good enough to win a championship. Now I don't even think they're good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. How do you feel about that? And what can they do at this point? What can they do? For me, the trio of Ben, Joe, and Brett is not going to win a title. It's not. I don't think this trio can win a title. Something has to change. And the first thing that's going to go is going to be the head coach at some point. And I don't believe that'll be in season. But if they get to the second round and flop again, it's not really a flop last year. They went to Game 7 and it took a quadruple doink to beat them. But when you can't get past the second round, that's probably going to be it for the coach. At this point right now, where we are on New Year's Day, they're the sixth seed. They're not going to drop to a 7. They got a comfortable 5-game lead over the Nets. They can get as high as a 2 because they're 2.5 behind Boston and Miami, a game behind Toronto. They're 16-2 at home, but 7-11 on a road. You got to win at least half your road games. Milwaukee's 14-3, Boston's 10-6, Heat are 9-8, Raptors 9-6. You got, if they can win, well, if they would have won half their road games by now, they would be only a half game out of that 2 spot. Can they fix this enough to make a run this year? I have serious questions about that. Serious questions about it at this point. Al Horford, it appears, isn't happy with his role. Where were those comments? I think that was in Boston. Con will have to tell me that. I know he had made some comments about his role. He's shot 2 for 12 yesterday. He's not giving them anything close to what they thought he could give them. Then certainly isn't giving them what they paid him to do. And of course, Tobias, one night, two nights, three nights in a row, he looks like a guy who is worthy of max. And then he'll throw in a game like he did the other night against the one where he missed a dunk, Miami. Missed a dunk that would have given him a comfortable lead in regulation, then he missed the open look in overtime. That would have won a game. Open look for a three. They didn't need a three. Only needed a two, but nonetheless, he missed it. You need him to hit that. That's a game-winning shot. We know Jimmy hit those last year. And when Jay Rich is questioning accountability and maturity, is he pointing a finger at Joel and Embiid not playing yesterday? Some serious question marks with this team. And here we are on New Year's Day, 1 week removed from a big win over Milwaukee when the Sixers were at that point 23-10. And instead, we're talking about a three-game losing streak to Orlando, Miami, and Indianapolis. Now, Indiana, they're 15-3 at home. They're a good home team, 7-9 on the road. You're missing Joel. They didn't have Brogdon, only played for about 8-9 minutes, and they still don't have a little depot back. So then the Heat are ahead of the Sixers, and they're great on at home, 15-1, even better than the Sixers. Orlando was a game you had to win, 14-19 overall, 10-7 at home. I know they have the Sixers number, but that's a game they had to win. Horford's story was also from Keith Pompey on 2 days ago, Connor, a couple days ago.
On the 30th. Yeah, so that would have been right before, after the loss to Miami, before they played.
And what exactly was his sentiment? The fact that he wasn't really happy, thrilled with his role? And when you have a guy like that, right, we question, a lot of callers tell me, oh, the Sixers don't have an alpha dog in the locker room. They don't have a guy. Well, when you got a guy like that who could be that guy but isn't happy with his role and his production, he can't be that guy.
Yeah, and the sentiment was that he's lacking opportunities to show his full offensive skill set. So he's not getting the opportunities in the game plan to show off everything he can do. And you look at like the Josh Richardson comments. To me, that's more of an indictment of the coach and the management here, even.
Yeah.
Because you look at where he comes from. His only other team he's ever played for is Miami.
Right.
Who do they have there? Pat Riley, who's a legend, does stuff the right way. Eric Spoelstra, who's a great coach and has proven he can win. I mean, he knows, even though you could say Josh Richardson's a younger guy, newer to the team, obviously, he knows how organizations are supposed to be run. He's from a team that does it the right way. And to me, because of that and coming from there, it seems more of an indictment of the coaching and the ability to manage this locker room.
Yeah, it really is. Because when you look at a head coach who's having, and this isn't just this year. This was last year. This was the year before. And I don't think no one who covers the Sixers or no one, we all like Brett Brown as a guy, who he is, and love what he was able to do as far as during those process years. But it gets to a point where you need a different voice sometimes. And you see that all over. You see that with teams who've won even more, right? And it gets to that. Toronto did that. And they had more success than the Sixers did. So it gets to a point where no matter where you reach, sometimes a different voice can get the message driven home. I just look at like what an indictment it is when he says, I want Ben to shoot a three at least minimum every game and get to the line 8 times. And it means he wants him to shoot that three. It means he wants him to go aggressively, drive and not dish, but drive to the basket and take the ball. And if you get fouled, go to the line and make those free throws. And while he did that yesterday, got to the line 8 times, he still hasn't taken a three since those comments came out. I mean, exactly, Connor, what you're saying, when Josh Richardson says what he said yesterday to Keith Pompey, that tells you right there, that's a huge indictment of the head coach, Brett Brown. 610-632-0975. I'll read you more of these comments. It's a troubling situation right now for the Sixers, and how far do you think they can go? How can they get out of it? And what are your thoughts on the Eagles this week as they get set for a wild card playoff game? I want to hear more on your champions from Philadelphia for the 2020s. What are your thoughts on that? 610-632-0975, Rob Motti on a Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Triple fours, 444 on 97.5, The Fanatic. A happy and blessed new year to everyone out there. I'm Rob Motti, taking you to 610-632-0975. A lot of talk about the Sixers, Eagles, championships this decade, whatever you got. Let's go to Joe in Southampton here on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Good evening, Rob. How are you?
I'm awesome, buddy. How are you?
Not very good as far as the Sixers concerned. This thing with Joel Embiid is really getting old fast. You know, God, it boggles my mind. Somebody getting $350,000 every game can't play, and he's have they no shame? Really?
I can't. You know, I hear you, man. I hear you.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're not interested. You know, they don't give a damn.
No, and it's troubling. It really is troubling.
You're talking to somebody who supported them since they've been here for Syracuse and the Warriors before them. As a fan who pays to see the games and pays a fortune to Comcast, I'm very livid.
Understandably so, Joe, because I don't know at this point. You know, I was high on this team coming into the season. I didn't think they were going to win a championship, but I thought they were talented enough that this would be the year that they would, things would break right. They'd get a top seed. They'd get to the finals. And now 36 games into it, I have real question marks about it to the point where I don't think they're going to win a title with Brett, Ben, and Joel together.
Well, Brett is, reluctantly, I give him this year, but afterwards, honestly, I would even think about talking to Jay Wright.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But it's better than him.
You know, I don't know that. I don't think that can happen. He's comfortable and happy in what he's doing at Villanova. But there are other voices out there that they could bring in. I think it's a matter of trying to get the message across to these guys in a different way, and it very well could be that can change things. But you know what? I don't think that's going to happen in season. That'll be at the end of the season. So I don't know how far they're going to get at this point.
Right.
You
another
know?
Another thing, I had the laugh last night.
Sure.
T.J. McConnell wasn't good enough that people like Leno and Scott.
Yeah,
and
but
Ennis,
he,
that is, they did that man dirt.
He got, and I appreciate the call, Joe. Thank you. T.J. got a contract that the Sixers weren't going to be able to pay him for his role. He got a 2-year deal with the Pacers for $7 million. And he's getting a lot of minutes now because of injuries. The Sixers were going after bigger fish, and they were able to bring them in. The questions are about Horford right now and how the Sixers assembled this roster. Mitch in Phoenix here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Nothing's going to change till Brett is gone and Ben Simmons is gone. I didn't like either one of them for the last 2 years. I don't care that Ben Simmons made the All-Star team. I don't care that he has X amount of assists. He is not the type of guard that is going to take a team to the championship. You know, when they got blown out by Indiana the other day, that was the perfect time for Brett Brown to say to Ben, "You got nothing going on today. We're not going to win this game. I want you to go out there and shoot from every area of the court.
Yeah.
I want to see what you have, sir." And what'd he do? He sat him down and rested him until the clock went to zero.
Hey, if you're going to in-game shoot threes and in-game shoot, it might as well be in a blowout. You got a good point, Mitch.
Yeah, but I mean, the pressure should have been, there shouldn't be any pressure anyway. A guard's two main responsibilities is to lieutenant the rest of the team and take open jump shots. That's what guards do in the NBA, and that's what they've been doing for the last 100 years. He is a liability, and I want him gone.
Well, Mitch, I'm not ready to say I want Ben Simmons gone.
Well, I've heard this over and over from every commentator in Philadelphia.
But
what exactly are you waiting to see happen?
I see an ultra-talented 23-year-old kid who certainly has flaws in his game. They're there. They're obvious. You see them. And I would like to see whether or not another coach can get it out of him before I move on from Ben Simmons.
No, there's no way another coach. Jesus Christ could come down and say, look, Ben, I need you to take at least 6 or 7 jump shots a game. And he would look and Jesus say, but I'm already an all-star.
Oh, man, you had to invoke JC in this one. I appreciate it, Mitch. You have a great new year. Have a blessed 2020, man. Thank you. Mitch could very well be right that a new coach, a different voice, will not be able to get through to Ben Simmons. It's possible. I'm not going to give up on someone that talented at 23 years old right now. I'm not giving up on him. I want to see, I think you exhaust every possibility to get more out of him because you see the production that he can give you and the talent that he has. And if you can just get him, and he made it clear before the season that he understood that there were areas of his game that he needed to improve. He worked on them in the offseason. He told me in September that he felt he had lost the love of basketball and he regained it in the summer. Did that translate into, and it worked, he worked hard and he went out there and he worked hard. It's not translating into the NBA season. He's taken 2 legit threes and made them both. And I'm not ready to give up. I understand the frustration, but I'm not ready to give up on Ben Simmons just yet. I'd like to see whether or not someone else can get him to do what he needs to do to take his game to the next level, an elite level. He's an all-star. He's a very good player. I'm not calling him generational. I thought that label was far too, you throw those labels around far too easily. Maybe he's a generational talent, not player yet. Same with Joel Embiid. Generational talent, fine. Player, not yet. Not until you go out there and prove it day in and day out. Mike and Delran, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike? Happy New Year.
Yo, what's going on, Rob? Happy New Year to you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
I want to talk more birds, but
sure.
You know, Ben Simmons, I think, has reached his peak of what he is, and I don't want to get rid of him either. It's just you can't count on him to be a closer. I think
No, you certainly can't. No.
No, I think Ben Simmons' game is his best when you have a player like, and I hate to say it, Jimmy Butler. I think the Sixers banked on Tobias Harris being that same guy, and he's not. Jimmy Butler is the guy at the end of the game is an assassin. And when you have a point guard like Ben Simmons, who is an amazing talent. When you have someone that can feed off of him, and Embiid, you can't count on to be in the game and be in shape. And I think we made the wrong move by letting Jimmy go and picking Tobias over Jimmy.
Yeah, you know what though, Mike? I don't even know if it was the Sixers' choice. Like Jimmy wanted to, he wanted to move on. Now, of course, they could have given him more money than Miami, but he wanted to go. And I think he read the situation like, I don't want to play with these guys.
Well, what was it that he said when he came back? I think something about booze, and he's made a comment that when we know the real story, that he's not the one they'll boo at.
Yeah, something like that. And you know, people, he gets that reputation because of what's happened throughout his career, but and maybe we dismiss that too easily, and there could be something there.
Right, and that's all. But anyway, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited that my franchise quarterback 17 games. I'm so excited.
Nice.
To taste the playoffs on Sunday. I'm so excited that the basketball team my coach is playing earlier in the game this time. I can't wait. This is what I've been waiting for since Carson Wentz Carson Wentz's rookie year. It's what we've been waiting for since his MVP season where he got hurt. I don't know why, and call me crazy. Maybe I'm just a homer, but I have a real strong feeling that he is going to will this team to a victory on Sunday. I'm just really excited for it. Go Birds!
All right, Mike. I appreciate it. Thank you, man. I'm with you. I think not only will this team to victory on Sunday, and I have them winning 30-16, a two-touchdown victory on Sunday. Call me crazy. I thought at 5-7 they were going to come back and win a division, and they did. Now, I had a couple close games in there, and they all were right, except for the Giants game. I thought that game would be down to the wire, and it was they ran away in the fourth quarter. But I feel like I've had my pulse on this team for a long time, covered this team now for 20 years, and I feel that the confidence in that locker room, the positivity in that locker room right now, the way these guys are rolling, I don't want to put it on 2017 level just yet, but it's trending that way. It's close to that. And they get this win over Seattle, and you know, who knows what can happen next? But first, get this win over Seattle. 610-632-0975. I want to read more of these quotes from Josh Richardson, from Ben Simmons, from Tobias Harris from yesterday. I want to read more of these quotes. And we'll also take a look and update our Twitter poll when we come back. Pete, everyone else, hang on. I'll get to you next. 610-632-0975. Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.